AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire. People digging out from up to 9 inches of snow face a lot more shoveling in the days ahead. National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Hurley says a much larger storm could hit the Mid-Atlantic all the way into New England late tonight through Tuesday.
It just got through a storm system in New England yesterday, and even into the evening and overnight hours for some areas in Maine. So one storm system departs, the other one that's currently over the Mississippi, mid-Mississippi Valley, will be the one that's going to be strengthening.
The latest advisories from the Weather Service include a blizzard watch from New York's Long Island all the way into New England starting late Monday into Tuesday. Forecasts call for a foot or more of snow in many of the areas from southeastern Pennsylvania to New England. President Obama and India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi have reached understandings on a number of issues, including increasing ties government to government.
The United States and India have declared a new declaration of friendship that elevates and formalizes our partnership. And not only is it grounded in the values we share, but it commits us to more regular meetings at the leaders' level and sets up frequent consultations across our government.
In his joint appearance with Modi, Obama also talked about the unrest in Yemen and how that affects the U.S. effort against al-Qaeda in that country.
We continue to go after high-value targets inside of Yemen, and we will continue to maintain the pressure that's required to keep the American people safe.
Obama will be the guest of honor at tomorrow's Republic Day festivities in India. Amnesty International says hundreds of thousands of civilians are now at grave risk as Islamic extremists attack the largest city in northeastern Nigeria. A soldier says dozens of combatants have been killed and wounded. Troops are blocking roads leading into that city of some 1 million people. This is AP Radio News. Police and bomb-sniffing dogs in Atlanta searched two planes, flights by Delta and Southwest, after someone posted bomb threats against both flights online.
Military officials say the threats against the aircraft were made through Twitter. While they haven't described the threats in detail, both were considered credible enough to provoke a military and police response.
AP's Ray Henry reports that after getting an Air Force fighter escort, the two planes were taxied to a remote part of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport and searched while the passengers were rescreened. No bombs were found. Strong currents are being blamed for a second failure to lift the fuselage of the crashed AirAsia jetliner from the floor of the Java Sea. Indonesian Navy officials say a rope that was linking the lifting balloons inflated under the wreckage broke. The recovery team was able to retrieve another body, the 70th of the 162 people who died when the plane crashed into the sea on December 28th. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Tyson's Corner offices of Offutt Corman. This is your host, Colin Callahan, with my co-host, Mike Mercurio from Offutt Corman. We have a great lineup of guests on our show today. First, we have Oliver Robinson, president of Trust Service Securities. Then we have Amber Peebles, president of Athena Construction Group. Then Lisa Wolford, who is the president and CEO of Constellation West. And then Jim George, who is the founder and CEO of MSTI. But first up, we have Oliver Robinson, who is the president of Trust Security Services. Welcome, Oliver. And what is Trust Security Services?
Trust Security Services is a local security guard service company that provides armed and unarmed guard service in the Washington metropolitan D.C. area. Mm-hmm. We're licensed in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia.
And how did this company get started?
Well, the company got started over a cup of coffee, really. But my son, who he was at a particular time, was account manager for a local security company that was not licensed in Maryland. And that particular company was receiving a lot of contracts for due Maryland armed guard services, unarmed guard services as well. And so he said, well, Mr. Robbins, Oliver, they said, Dad, that you are a retired federal police officer, and one of the requirements to start a security agency in Maryland is that you have to be a licensed security agent. You have to be a formal police officer. Mm-hmm. And from that particular conversation started with the beginning of Trust Security Services.
Mm-hmm. So just over a cup of coffee. That's great. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Louisville, Virginia,
and that's
Louisa County, which is in the central part of Virginia.
Right, a little bit south. And did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one sister who is deceased at this particular time. She was older than I.
Uh-huh. And what were your mom and dad doing?
My mother was a home economics teacher, and my father was a minister. Mm-hmm. Both of them in Louisa, Virginia.
Yeah. What was it like growing up as a minister's son?
Well, it was quite interesting. Of course, when you're a minister's son, people always expect a lot more of you. So I have to contend with those particular issues. Uh-huh. And it was quite challenging in some instances. Sometimes we get a little mischievous, and then they would bring that to your parents' attention.
Uh-huh. And what took you into away from Louisa and into the military?
Well, primarily after I finished high school, we went into the military, spent 2 years there. Uh-huh. And there wasn't too much job opportunity in Louisa, so I came up here to Washington, D.C. area in search mm-hmm. of a job. Mm-hmm. And my first job was with the federal government. I spent 35 years as a police officer in various agencies in the federal government.
Mm-hmm. And what is an influence that you get from your mom that shows up in your leadership style as a business owner today?
Well, she was a very determined woman. She wanted me to be honest and fair dealing with with everyone I come in contact with. Mm-hmm. And I carried that over into the business as well. We pride ourselves in being honest and straightforward with all our employees. And that's the way she was. And I appreciate her for giving me that particular upbringing and training.
Mm-hmm. Great, Mike.
You referenced in the pre-interview that you grew up in a segregated school. How's that impacted or influenced your life?
Well, it made me be more aware of and to some of the opportunities that I do have right now. I'm very well blessed for some of the sacrifices that our those that are going on before me have made in order for me to advantage of the opportunity that I presently do have, and the presence of the opportunity that folks that other people like me as well have.
What's the best thing about working with your son and your wife and some other family members in business?
Well, we are a very close-knit family. And one of the best things, I think, is the togetherness. Where because the business brought us more together, I think, than we have, in some cases, where business separates family members. We have a very cordial understanding and discipline within the office itself. And we try not to carry our business away from the office. We have a set rule primarily that when we're at home, we try not to discuss business, although sometimes it may come up just to solve some problems, but that's not the major issue, major function when we get together.
What was your biggest surprise when you sat down and all of a sudden you had a company and you weren't necessarily planning to start?
I'll be quite honest with you. If you ask me, maybe around about 10, we've been in business for about 5 years. If you asked me about 10 years ago, whether or not I'll be a business owner, I probably would think that would be very far-fetched.
Uh-huh.
But today it's a reality, and I give all credit to my son who got the vision and that we start a family business, and I'm very grateful to him.
Mm-hmm. What's challenging about working so closely with your son?
Well, one of the challenging is that sometimes we doesn't necessarily see eye to eye, but about certain business issues. But we have managed to work them out because we were close in the beginning, that those issues have a tendency to work themselves out, whatever they may be.
Uh huh. How so?
It's a compromise. It's a compromise on what we generally do. Sometimes we go to the chart and go to the board and look at what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages, and from each other point of view.
Uh-huh.
You referenced that you've had some rather interesting security details, including providing security for the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. How was it providing security for the Cowboys in Redskins territory?
That was quite interesting. We provided security while they were housed here at a local hotel, and that was quite interesting. We had some of our officers who were real excited about the idea to be part of that particular detail, and that's a life-changing experience for them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think your biggest challenge, or tell us what your biggest challenge was overcoming that you've overcome in your business life?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges, I guess, just getting started and getting organized and figure out exactly which way we were going with the business. Where right now we're growing, and we're looking at in the future to get government contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we don't have government contracts, but we're in the process of getting qualified for them. That's a big challenge, a big hurdle. We started out with just 5 employees, and now we're up to about 75 employees right now. And
so
50% of those are full time.
Is it tougher to finding work, or is it tougher managing and finding the right employees?
I think that it's probably be a little more challenging finding the right fit.
Uh-huh.
Although we do have a very good program, which we do, I will plug one particular source, the Zip Recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
We're heavily endowed with them. They were some very good employees come through that particular area.
How do you know when you've got somebody across the table from you that you've got a good employee?
Well, we look at the particular person's demeanor, look at his application, and we also look at the way he presents himself.
Uh-huh.
And references.
Great.
How do you, or what is your secret sauce in bringing security in today's dangerous, up and down world?
I think that it has to be very challenging. First of all, is that I think you have to trust people. You have to trust people. You have to trust your employees to do what they are trained to do. You have to have faith in your organization, and the leadership, the upstructure, the field managers, and everybody that's in the management field. You have to have faith and confidence in them that they're going to do what the job requires.
How young were you when you first made some money? Before, say, age 13 or 15.
Boy, I guess that would probably be when I'm around about 10, 11, somewhere around there. I remember delivering the good old Afro paper. And to my local, we was in a rural area, and I had a bicycle in which I used to go to my neighbor's house, which was maybe around about half a mile away, and deliver newspapers to them and people that was in that general area.
Yeah. What did you learn from that experience that you carry forward today, that just starting
out? Hard work pays off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Great. And Oliver, what is the website for your company?
TSSGuard.com. TSSGuard.com, which stands for Trust Security Services, abbreviated.
Great. Thank you very much. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment.
And your name is?
Dana Theus.
And the name of the organization?
EmpowerCoaching.com.
And what does Empower Coaching do?
Well, we support mid-level to senior managers and leaders achieve professional success by developing themselves personally.
Why does this turn you on so much?
Well, I have found in my own experience and my own leadership journey that the better I was at being a good human being, the better leader and the better business I ran and the more successful I was. And I want to help other people do that.
So you're able to help the folks in an organization throughout the organization achieve what they're looking for, as well as help the organization move forward.
Well, to move an organization forward, you've got to master the soft skills of dealing with people effectively. You've got to learn to negotiate every relationship successfully for both parties. You have to communicate confidently. I support people and help them learn to develop those skills themselves to be strong leaders.
And you have a specialty working with women?
I do work a lot with women. They're drawn to this work, but not exclusively.
And to learn more about what you're up to, is there a website address?
InPowerCoaching.com. That's InPowerCoaching.com.
Excellent. This has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
David Shulman.
And David, the organization is?
Information Concepts.
And what makes Information Concepts special?
We're a fixed-price, full lifecycle custom software development shop.
Wait, your fixed-price software development. How long have you guys been around?
32 years.
So how do you manage to do that? You must have some very special processes to make sure that you sell what you can deliver with confidence and then deliver what you sell. Otherwise, you wouldn't be around this long. Do you have any repeat customers?
All our customers are repeat customers.
So you're telling me that customers buy software development from you because they know they get a fixed price, they know what they're going to get. Do you guarantee a timeline also?
Absolutely. Everything's guaranteed. Every screen, every process, every report, line item and priced, and every line item has a date.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that all the interim processes are dated and priced so that when you get to the final result, there's no surprises?
Exactly.
Huh. And how long have you been doing this for?
We've been doing it 32 years. What we've done in the last few years, if I might, is developed a visualization process that allows the clients to actually see what we're going to build and take it out for a test drive and kick the tires without us writing a line of code.
What's the website address for this organization?
Infoconcepts.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Infoconcepts.com.
This has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. Listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Colin Callahan, with my co-host, Mike Mercurio. It's now my pleasure to introduce you to Amber Peebles, who is the president of Athena Construction Group. Amber, welcome. And what is Athena Construction Group?
Athena Construction Group is the nation's premier service-disabled veteran, woman-owned, hub-zone construction company. We perform federal work. We also have private clients. We do a lot of hospital work and DOD construction. And we have a subcontracting expertise in doors, frames, and hardware.
So as a premier construction provider, you must have been doing this for a long time, your construction.
Well, the company is going into its 12th year. And we've been doing the federal arena for the past 7 years.
And did you have a lot of construction experience as you came into the company?
Not enough. I had some, probably armed with just enough to be dangerous,
right,
so to speak.
Right. And where did you grow up?
Texas.
Uh-huh. And what all were your mom and dad doing in Texas?
Primary occupation was that of a rancher.
Uh-huh. And what did that mean for those who haven't been on a ranch? Kind of a day. What does a quick day-to-day look like?
Long days.
Uh-huh.
Every meal consisted of beef and fresh, unpasteurized milk.
Uh-huh.
So a strong musculature and sturdy bone structure.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and older sister.
Mm-hmm. So you're the middle child.
I'm the youngest.
Oh, I'm sorry,
yeah,
the youngest.
I'm the youngest.
yes, I can do my calculations. When we were talking in the green room, you said one of your strengths is intensity. How young were you when you realized that you were intense and that you had no quit? Tell us a no quit story.
Well, apparently my mom liked to keep me in the playpen.
Uh-huh.
And she tells me that I would go to work in the playpen.
So you're a toddler.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she put me in front of the TV, and that was back in the days when there were only three stations. And I would go to work, and I'd pretend I was in an office, and I would only stop for the commercials, and I'd watch the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I had this big affinity for the playpen. My dad felt like I really needed to get out of the playpen. He would complain that I wasn't exercising enough, et cetera. And he wanted to disassemble the playpen, and apparently I threw such a major fit that my dad finally caved. And my dad doesn't cave on anything, and I think that kind of demonstrated, you know, I got to keep the playpen apparently quite a bit longer. So
uh-huh.
That's a story that rotates around the family.
Right. So at 2 years old, you overcame your Marine father's.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing. I probably paid that. I had to pay for that later, but yeah.
So growing up on a ranch, I assume there were, things that you had to do. What did you learn about work ethic being on a ranch?
Well, you work or your livestock die.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. So it's not an either or. Well, it is an either or proposition. You work or the livestock
mm-hmm.
dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really exposed to the realities of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not insulated from nature. You're not insulated from disappointments. I think it's a great way to grow up.
Uh-huh.
How does that grittiness translate into your current field, into the construction field? What does it? How does it help you? How's that an asset to you?
As far as growing up on a ranch,
yeah, the grittiness.
Grittiness. Well,
intensity.
Construction. One of the great things about construction is you have an end product. Okay, you see something through to the very end, and there's no such thing as a problem-free construction project. And so I would say that what I learned growing up was that you were always faced with problems. Think of the problems that a rancher might face. Weather,
mm-hmm.
Food prices, agricultural regulations, disease. You had to find a way to work around it in order to stay successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that definitely
just
applies to the construction
through.
Industry.
Yeah. So when you graduated from high school, you took a path that not every woman takes. What tell us about that?
I went directly into the Marine Corps.
Uh-huh. And what influenced you in that decision?
Well, there were a number of factors. At that point in time, I was growing up, Ronald Reagan was president.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always had a tremendous love for my country,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted a way to serve it, and I thought that the Marine Corps was the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have great-looking uniforms. You know, and that was a helpful draw
uh-huh.
to the Marine Corps. And I'm forever grateful for my experiences in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you learn from your father that you carry with you today in your business leadership style?
Well, my father was an extremely hard worker,
mm-hmm.
And he was kind of a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
He had a, and so did my mother. I'm not certainly not discounting my mother. She's
yeah.
very strong as well.
Yeah.
Both of them had a very strong sense of right and wrong.
Yeah, and that's, do you carry that?
I do.
Today?
When there's yeah. no moral equivalency, it's very easy to proceed in a particular
right.
direction.
Right, right. Also, you served for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and then something happened, and that changed your life.
Yeah, I got injured pretty badly on May 13th, 1991, to be exact.
Yeah.
I fell 35 feet. Ooh. And you know what they say, it's not the fall that hurts, it's the sudden stop. And it did. And I knew that day that my career was over.
So tell us a little about overcoming that and moving forward.
Well, I never lost consciousness when I hit the ground. And I couldn't move my legs. Mm-hmm. And so the very first thought that I had was that I was paralyzed. Mm. And the second thought that I had was, how am I going to tell my mom? Because I knew it would just devastate her.
Yeah.
And then the third thought that I had was, well, you're not going to be able to walk or run, but you can participate in the Marine Corps wheelchair marathon. So just, you know, it was a progression of that, okay, this has happened. Now what is your next step?
Right, even in those first instances.
In the first instances, yeah.
So. Yeah, you've accomplished a whole lot. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's the next goal?
Well, I have an obligation to continue to move the business forward, and I have a number of employees and clients that rely on us. One of my personal passions that I'd like to pursue is a reality TV show, and it's based around accountability. I think that one of our number one problems in the country today is that there is a lack of accountability. Mm-hmm. I think people are very afraid to hold themselves accountable, and I think that there is a lack of holding others mm-hmm. accountable.
Uh-huh.
And I have somewhat of a unique background with my Marine Corps background, and I'm a certified life coach. And I'd like to take all of my experiences, and I'd like to help use that vehicle, the TV show, so that everybody can see that when you are willing to own every aspect of your life, it is a very life-affirming mm-hmm. and very powerful. And so I've been toying with this idea for some time now and trying to position everything so that the timing is right.
And you certainly have both a combination of the passion that comes absolutely through, that the importance of accountability and the things that you've overcome and the decisions that you've made. So you also have, you know, the creds to show for it.
Well, there is a price for that, but it's okay.
And are your mom and dad aware of your success?
My mom is. Uh-huh. Yeah. My dad passed away a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
But my mom lives with me.
Yeah.
So she hears about it every day.
Right.
The good and the bad. She won't hesitate to let me know when she doesn't think I'm successful.
If you're picking up there, if your parents were sitting here, what do you think they'd say about you?
I think they'd both say that they're proud of me and that it affirms that they did the right thing in how they chose to rear me.
Great. Amber, what's the website?
Our website is www.athenaconstructiongroup.com.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. Isabella, what is BusinessWise CPAs?
BusinessWise CPA supports government contractors, small businesses, and nonprofits with outsourced CFO and financial consulting services.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the marketing director.
And as the marketing director, what does that mean?
Well, I actually wear several hats. My primary role is to improve and extend the branding of BusinessWise CPA through referrals, client meetings, networking in the DC area, mm-hmm. As well as supporting current client relationships.
And what do you like most about your job?
I like the most that I don't have to be at a desk all day. I'm out and about meeting new folks and learning experiences from other entrepreneurs.
Right. What makes your organization so special in your view?
I believe our added value is that we are not just a number report kind of type firm. We're very much integrated with our clients. They rely on us for all important decisions. We help them not only with the numbers, but on the future growth of the business.
And what is it that the clients appreciate most about the company?
That they can call us and they talk to the same person every time.
Okay, and who's the perfect client?
perfect client, a small to mid-size organization looking to save on a full-time employee and as well as get the added value of the consulting.
Great. What's the website for the company?
www.businessycpa.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Isabella Fuentes, Marketing Director at BusinessWise CPAs. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
This is Peter Schwartz with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining me for this segment is Doug Kay, who is a principal with a firm called Offit Kerman. What is Offit Kerman, Doug?
Offit Kerman is a full-service law firm in the Mid-Atlantic region with offices from Philadelphia all the way down to Tyson's Corner, Virginia, where I work.
Right, and you're a lawyer with the firm?
I'm a lawyer with the firm.
What practice area do you specialize in?
I mostly do work in commercial litigation, although I also do work with in doing criminal defense and personal injury, anything that gets me to trial.
Anything that gets you to trial. Well, why do your customers appreciate you?
I think they appreciate me because I am a careful and sympathetic listener, and I try to offer concrete solutions to their most vexing legal problems.
Well, give us an example. Do you have, without mentioning specifics, a recent example of where you were really good at this? How about your favorite client up till now, without getting into two particulars there?
Well, I represented a fellow who was in a commercial lease, and the landlord was determined to make him pay more than he should have been paying, and we had to go to court, and we had to go all the way through trial, and the client really appreciated the effort, and we got an excellent result for the client. And that was very satisfying. And since then, he's been talking me up all over town, so I can't thank him enough.
Yeah. What's the best part of practicing law for you?
I would say that it is taking people through difficult circumstances when they think they don't have any options and trying to find a good solution for them.
Right. What's the website address for the law firm?
www.offitkerman.com.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Doug Kay, who's the principal with Offit Kerman. This is Peter Schwartz, and that was your Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Colin Callahan, with my co-host, Mike Mercuro from Offit Kerman, and it's my pleasure now to introduce you to Lisa Wolford, who is the president and CEO of Constellation West. Welcome, Lisa, and what is Constellation West?
So Constellation West is a federal IT services firm. We provide cybersecurity and training and exercise support to places like Cyber Command. Mm-hmm. We're also software and systems engineering and geospatial information systems.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah. How did you get a job with this company?
I started the company 17 years ago, and I was the first person on billing mm-hmm. in the commercial industry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what inspired you to start a business?
I drew up a business plan in college to start my own business, and the business I started was different than the business plan, but the business plan gave me the basic knowledge I needed to uh-huh. to do that. Yeah.
So it was an idea you'd had for a long time, that you knew you wanted to be a business owner.
Yes.
Yeah. How young were you when you first thought of that?
You know, my dad started businesses, many different businesses during my upbringing, so uh-huh. I guess I always thought it was an option.
A thing to do. So your dad was a bit of an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You also said he worked for Union Pacific, but he was working in publication and then what else, an artist?
And then he's a musician, an uh-huh. artist, jazz musician, an uh-huh. artist, yeah, by an artist.
So what did you learn from all that creativity that shows up in your management today?
Because other people do things a particular way doesn't mean I necessarily have to do them that way.
Uh-huh.
I can choose to. This is my company. I own it 100%. So I can set the rules of the road the way I want them to be, mm-hmm. and the policies the way I want them to be, so long as they don't violate any laws or whatnot.
Yeah. Did you have any trepidation when you started? A little concern about I'm stepping out on my own.
Sure, it's really scary because you know you have a steady paycheck at a firm, but mm-hmm. The reality is I doubled my income immediately, mm-hmm. and so that was outstanding. I just saved the rest of my money. I've always been a saver, so I spend less than I earn.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What is it in your background that enables you to take that risk? Where do you get that? Most people wouldn't go out and take a risk like starting a business.
So I'm a Marine Corps veteran, which is probably not the most common place for women to go. And quite honestly, I felt capable to do so. It didn't seem a risk. It didn't seem as risky. And initially, for the first 4 years, I was on billing, so I kept my technical skill set. So.
And what drew you to the Marine Corps? Again, it's not a choice that a lot of women make.
So I met the different branches, recruiters, and I was not overly impressed by the other recruiters. Mm-hmm. The Marines were squared away. They had answers for my questions. They showed up when they said they were going to do. They behaved with integrity with mm-hmm. everything that they did. They showed up when they said they were going to show up, and they did what they said they were going to do every single time.
Mm-hmm. And where did you grow up?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. And what did your mom do?
My mom was an executive at a Fortune 100 company in town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you take from your mom that shows up in your leadership style?
So my mom's a very straightforward person. She was very decisive. When my mom passed away, everybody from her company and the leadership team showed up for her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, huge show up.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to my mom's networking, caring, how she kept track of everything and how valued she was.
Yeah. So. How young were you when she passed away?
I was 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why technology business? You referenced in our pre-interview that you have a philosophy on technology.
I love technology, first of all. I always have. But with technology, you're solving problems with technology. You have a problem, you solve a problem all day long. That's what you do when you write software or work on systems, is you solve problems. And that's very gratifying. You have an end result. So that's and for now, as an executive, I'm solving customer problems. I'm helping them to innovate and do things differently, perhaps, than what they've done in the past.
Comment on your management style. You have a particular management style I thought interesting.
So I believe in setting people up for success, and that means that I put the underpinnings underneath them. I don't take credit for their work. I have a fantastic team of people working for me. About 40% of them are veterans. All my leadership team is veterans. And I just set them up for success, and you set the processes and you set the rules of the road, and then you let them loose and let them run.
What's the biggest surprise you had when you started your company and all of a sudden you were off to the races? What was the thing you were most surprised by?
I think in starting my business, this didn't surprise me, but after a couple of years, I tried to promote somebody because I valued them and I thought they were a great individual, but the reality is that person didn't want the next level. And I've always been one who goes after the next, whatever the next is.
Right.
And I'm very goal-oriented, and so I didn't even understand that there are other people weren't like me, I guess.
You also commented in the green room about the difference between solving IT problems and managing people. What are some managing people challenges?
You know, sometimes when you're managing people, you can't solve the problem. It's mm-hmm. it's something organic in them. Maybe it's a mental health issue. It's some personal problem in their personal life. And it's an unsolvable problem, and it's not something I can solve. Business problems I can solve all day long.
Mm-hmm.
IT's challenges we can solve all day long. And so that's even with those people, though, I try and set them up for success and try and point them in a direction I think will be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You referenced that you have a no-quit attitude.
Yeah.
How do you manage that no-quit attitude to know? Because sometimes you need to quit. How do you balance that?
Well, so I have a good team of people with me, and I do listen to them. Now, sometimes it's always my final decision whether or not we're still going to go for the gusto, okay? And sometimes I choose to do that. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I've learned to pull back a little bit with a few things. But sometimes I'm still on a no-holds-barred going for the gusto.
What did you learn from your dad that you carry forward?
Well, so with my dad, I don't follow necessarily. I will follow. I look at what other companies do in a particular area, and I might take that as an example, but I don't feel a need to follow exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad had a creative bent in the majority of his life. He's an artist and musician. And so to me that really means that you create a solution. It doesn't have to be the standard solution that everybody else implements.
Yeah.
So
I'm hearing there's a bit of a mix between your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
And your mom, there was the discipline and the organization.
Yes.
And your dad, there's kind of the jazz riff and creativity.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. My dad actually could not read music. Uh-huh. People didn't realize that. Yeah. He couldn't read music. If he could, he was very slow. He couldn't read as fast as he could play.
Yeah.
But he could play by ear. And so that's a unique talent that not all musicians have. So
right.
So it's an instinct thing.
Right. And that comes up in business as well?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I have an instinct about what the right thing is to do in a particular situation. And that really is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about your interests outside of business.
So I love to all water sports. I like to go kayaking. I like to jet ski, swim, whatever. Yeah. I like to go hiking. I like to spend time with my kids. They're adults now, mm-hmm. but so they have some time for mom, not as much. But
how is running a business like being a single mom?
Well, when you're a single mom, it's you or it's you or it's you. That's mm-hmm. the Burger King menu, uh-huh. okay? and when you're running a business and you're the owner, it's you or it's you or it's you. Mm-hmm. So. You know, I did not take a two-week vacation until I think like 2009, mm-hmm. ever in my life. Okay, and you know, you answer the emails on the weekends. You answer the customers when you're on vacation. You answer the employees when you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. The company's big enough, and I have a strong enough management team that I don't have to do that anymore. But that is the basics. That's very, very similar to being a single mom. Single moms are multitaskers like nobody's business. Uh-huh. And if you're a business owner, you are too.
Yeah. When you when you're interviewing a candidate, especially for a like an executive position, mm-hmm. What do you look for in a candidate?
I am looking for some level of maturity and experience, and I do have a preference for veterans, so I'll state that up front. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, some maturity and expertise in the area that I'm hiring them for. So if it's business development operations, then I'm looking for that kind of background. If it's a senior finance operations type executive, then I'm looking for that kind of background. And they have to have, I really like them to have had some small business background, because mm-hmm. sometimes some people coming from a larger business are used to delegating and not doing.
Right.
And in a small business, everybody is a doer.
Yeah. Yeah. Was your dad aware of your success, or is your dad aware of your success?
He was before he passed. He passed 11 years ago, so the company was successful, but nowhere near where we are now. We were probably under 20 people. He was mm-hmm. very proud of my success, and yeah. he would tell everybody about it. And, yeah. So
what do you think he'd say if he were here today?
He would be blown away. Yeah. yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Lisa, what's the website?
www.constellationwest.com.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Les Smolin with Vistage International, and this is your Business Spotlight. Joining us today is Mark Cohn, founder of Cohn & Burnett, a law firm. Mark, welcome. What is Cohn & Burnett?
We are a law firm that focuses on trusts and estates. So we do wills, trusts, powers of attorney, estate planning, and estate administration.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the founder and the senior partner.
So what does it mean to be a senior partner?
Well, it means that in our case, I'm the thought leader, the visionary, the one who tries to figure out where we're headed. I'm not the managing partner who runs the day-to-day operations.
Okay, and what makes Cohn & Burnett so special?
We are, first of all, focused on taking care of our clients and just on their estate planning and administration. And I think we're one of the first firms in the area to introduce a fixed fee for doing estate planning.
Interesting. And what do they really appreciate about you and the company, your clients, that is?
You know, the clients tell me that they just love the experience. They are very comfortable and confident that their needs are being met here, and they enjoy working with us.
Hmm. And who or what is your perfect client, if you will?
Our perfect client is anybody who cares about what's going to happen to them when they can no longer take care of themselves or their family.
Mm-hmm. And what is it you actually enjoy most about the work?
You know, talking to the clients. That's the part. I could turn over all of the work to other attorneys here, But I hold on to the first part, which is meeting the clients, talking to them, getting to know them, getting to understand where they're, what they need and what they're looking for.
That's great. What's the website for Cohen & Burnett?
CohenAndBurnett.com, all spelled out, the A and D in between there.
Thank you, Mark. We've been speaking with Mark Cohen, founder of Cohen & Burnett. This is Les Smolin, and that's been your Business Spotlight.
Here for today's Business Spotlight is Chris Vannetti, Vice President of Contract and Project Staffing Services at Hire Strategy. Chris, what is Hire Strategy?
Hire Strategy is a D.C. Metro-based professional services and staffing firm specializing in information technology placements as well as HR and administrative, sales and marketing, and accounting and finance.
And what do clients love about working with Hire Strategy?
We take an old school approach to staffing. And what I mean by that is, you know, back in the day before social media and email, it was all about people. And we're one of the few and last firms in this marketplace, probably nationwide, that really interviews in person, takes the time to know their candidates, and 100% takes the time to know their clients, their pushes and pulls, the positives and negatives, to make the right match. So it's truly a consultative approach.
Mm-hmm. What do employees love about working for Hire Strategy?
It's definitely our culture. And the employees that work for us, I think they would all to a person say, we believe in leadership, not management. And that's one of our key mottos. And leading people is a definite thing that we like to do, and we like to do it often.
So what does that mean for a new employee? They get to be a leader?
They can get to be a leader, but they're a leader of their own practice, of their own business. We allow them to be entrepreneurial. We allow them to make their own decisions, and we're there to help them along the way, correcting them if need be. But motivation and leadership is the one way that we think that people are going to excel with us.
What do you love most about your job?
I love that I get the opportunity to be a leader and to be entrepreneurial and work with a great bunch of people and a great group of executives along with myself. So it's a great place to be.
What's the website?
The website is www.hirestrategy.com.
Thank you for listening to this Business Spotlight. Joining us for this Business Spotlight is Wes Burnett, partner at Opti4. Wes, what is Opti4?
Opti4 is a securities firm that integrates legal, tax, and financial and risk in order to offer optimal results for clients.
Who's your perfect client?
Perfect client is someone who actually would like to combine services, make their life simpler, and is very family-oriented. Our firm itself is very family-oriented. We love helping families take care of their own, and that can be multi-generational.
So what would a family need when they would come to you?
Typically, what they're doing is trying to simplify their personal life by trying to have somebody else worry about their legal and their tax and financial affairs and present them with solutions rather than questions.
Solutions rather than questions. So give us an example of a good solution.
A good solution is something that results, for example, in the lowest tax bill, the greatest savings, and taking care of the values important to the family, like saving for college for children or grandchildren or something along those lines.
So what do you enjoy most about your work?
My clients. Although a second place, the close would be my staff, because I recruit very specifically people who have the same values as our clients. So we truly are very involved with our clients' lives, and they are family to us.
What about your family? Are they in the business too?
No, although there's certainly plenty of lawyers and financial advisors and so on in the business. But no, they all have their own lives, and we're very pleased, quite frankly, with that. I actually have a wife who's a teacher for 42 years, so I take a lot of my values from her.
What is the website?
Opti4.com, OPTIFOUR.com.
Thanks for listening to this Business Spotlight.
We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Colin Callahan, with my co-host, Mike Mercurio, and it's my pleasure now to introduce you to Colonel Jim George, who is the founder and CEO of MSTI. Colonel, what is MSTI?
MSTI is an IT and management support firm. It stands for Management Support Technology Incorporated. And we've been in business since 1990.
Mm-hmm. So what was your impetus to start this firm?
We looked at what was needed in government. We were part of government before, having spent 27 years in the Army, mm-hmm. and had some idea what the problems were in government, and felt that we may be able to help by the use of technology.
Uh-huh. And where did you grow up?
Grew up in Bracey. I actually grew up in Newport News, Virginia. Mm-hmm. I was born in Bracey, Virginia, but we moved there when I was about 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
I had a great time in Newport News, the ability to go about doing the kinds of things that kids like to do, mm-hmm. Even to be able to be a young entrepreneur uh-huh. at the age of maybe 9 or 10.
Oh, great. I was going to ask you that. Yeah. When was the? How young were you when you first made money?
Oh, about 9 years old. Uh-huh. It was during the time that it was fine to knock on your neighbor's door right. and not be concerned, and sell a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned early on, too, is that you don't eat your inventory.
Which is easy to do at 9 years old.
Yes.
So you got to run around in the woods till you were 7.
Oh, yes.
And then you moved a bit more into the city.
Well, that's right. The run around the woods was a great time, those formative years, older brother, uh-huh. climbing trees and discovering all kinds of fruit and uh-huh. things that's wild and what not to eat uh-huh. and what to eat and so forth.
You told a story of your mom being, well, not only the glue of the family, but also that she was good at home remedies.
Absolutely. Even though I was young, I do remember times when we got fevers and all kinds of things that kids normally do. Mm-hmm. And, of course, doctors were not around at that time in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother really understood the things that could be gotten out of the woods mm-hmm. to cure us, great home remedies. And I think I mentioned that I discovered that the bark that she was getting off a tree and making tea and a salve mm-hmm. from it was really the willow tree, and that's where we get aspirin from.
Mm-hmm.
So she just knew that, I guess, passed down from her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she really kept us well,
right.
All 7 of us.
How do you think that influences you today, that sort of live with what's available kind of aspect that your mom had? How does that show up in your leadership style?
You know, that's a great question because it really does. No matter what you accumulate and, you know, how much you've improved economically,
mm-hmm.
because of that experience, you're not extravagant. I'm always conserving,
mm-hmm.
No matter how much, and always grateful for the little things.
Yeah.
So it really influences you throughout your life, mm-hmm. even during the military experience,
uh-huh.
When people can become wasteful in different
yeah.
things. And you have to understand that things don't come easily.
Yeah.
And that you must conserve and use things to your best advantage. It's a good survival strategy
even right.
in the military. And so, you know, it even in business,
yeah.
it runs
yeah.
off.
You've spent 27 years or so in the military. Why the military? What drew you there?
Well, when I went to college, during that time, the Universal Military Service was the law of the land, the draft. And in college, most colleges, I think all of them, were required to offer ROTC for the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of caught on. And I liked the leadership aspect of ROTC and applied and was accepted for the second 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then at the time, of course, we knew that we had to serve. So the question is, would you rather serve as an officer or serve as enlisted?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a no-brainer to me. So that's why the military. And even though in college I majored in biology with a pre-med program, minored in chemistry,
I had thought that I would simply go into the Army after 3 or 4 years and come back to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
The people aspects of the Army, motivating people, leading people, selecting the right people for the right job, somehow that caught on. And the medical part sort of went into the background.
Uh-huh.
So the Army has things that can be used wherever you are, whenever you are, no matter what the time period. For example, there are principles of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
There are principles of war. There are principles of management. You can take those principles and adapt them to business, mm-hmm. which I have,
mm-hmm.
or to other leadership, even if you're leadership in church. So it's... The military has a lot of documentation, a lot of infrastructure that's very transferable to everyday life into other aspects.
Tell us how your two tours in Vietnam and one tour in Korea served as a catalyst to start your business. You referenced something along that line.
The tours in Vietnam, one was early on, 1967-68, and when the war was really, I guess, we were right in the middle of it. We had ramped up from 64 to about 67 and put more troops in and so forth, so the buildup was just about there. Being an infantry officer, I knew and was told by the career managers that I'd likely go back at least one more time. Mm-hmm. So in between the first and second tours, I sort of made a deal with them. You send me to grad school in the meantime. So I had decided that at that stage, the medical part was career was out of the window, and the management part was in, so I decided to go for an MBA.
Uh-huh.
And
that really set you up for business then?
That really set me up for mm-hmm. business. The case study method was very prevalent during that time, and I suppose it still goes on now, the Harvard business cases and Stanford business cases and so forth. But most of them were the analysis of problems within large corporations. And I knew that almost inherently that large corporations could not be the basis of a bristling economy.
Right.
And it had to be all of these small businesses that really was the basis for a robust economy. And I was sort of frustrated that we did not analyze small business cases.
Right.
And there was a spark there that says, if I ever get the chance to own my own business, that's what I'm going to do.
That's great. And so you did.
Absolutely.
Colonel, what is the website?
The website is www.mst.mstic.com.
Great. Thank you very much. We've had a great lineup of guests today that included Oliver Robinson, president of Trust Services, Trust Security Services. Then we had Amber Peebles, who is the president of Athena Construction Group. Then we had Lisa Wolford, who is the president and CEO of Constellation West. And finally, we've been speaking with Colonel Jim George, who is the founder and CEO of MSTI. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mike Mercurio, for helping develop our storyline and to create an entertaining and educational show. I'd also like to thank Offutt Corman for hosting us today. And I would like to thank you, our listening audience, for without you, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. And you can hear this show again at businesstalkradio.net.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and Federal News Radio.
This paid commercial may